Hello and welcome to another episode of the Parenting Tools podcast. My name is Jordan.
And my name is Jason. For a moment there, when you said your name, I was like, is it?
It is. I think it is.
It is. Welcome to the show where myself and Jordan talk about our lives as dads and being tools.
That's it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Jason, straight off the bat, I've got a message from Neil that's coming on
Armstrong.
Instagram. No, not Neil Armstrong.
Sorry.
No, I don't want to say his surname just in case. But it's not Neil Armstrong. So process of elimination, you might eventually get to the one. This is coming from Neil on Instagram. And this is wonderful. It says, recently we had our second. Prior to induction, my wife was in a room with three others and a shared bathroom. The bathroom door was so squeaky. It kept them all awake. Four pregnant women all peeing. Imagine how long it had been like that. My wife told me about it. WD-40 taken in, lubed up the door, silence. Wife, ladies and staff delighted. Didn't make the induction any easier. For reference, love the podcast. Currently 1 year behind, but catching up. But conveniently at your New Year's 2003. So currently feel vaguely on track.
What a man.
What a guy.
That's a man move.
Yeah. Do you know what? I could have guessed that's a proper man move that he was called Neil.
He owns WD-40.
Yeah.
I don't own a can of WD-40.
Oh, I ran out recently. I've got motor oil though.
Recently? I used it recently?
No, that's a lie. The need to use it came up recently and realised I didn't have any.
Did you buy some?
No.
Oh.
No.
I changed the brakes on my car.
The brakes?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm trying to remind myself that.
No, that is manly.
Yeah, it was the full thing. Like, it was brake discs, brake pads, all of it.
No, that's proper.
Yeah.
See, I changed a light on my car and felt like, like a proper mechanic. Do you ever feel like a surgeon when you give the kids Calpol? You give them a little bit of Calpol in the syringe and you think, do you know what?
I could do that.
Yeah.
Easy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Sign me up for a 14-hour shift in A&E. No.
Anaesthetist over here.
If you're knocking your kids out with paracetamol, maybe not the job for you.
So yeah, thank you, Neil, for that. That was awesome.
Yeah, bold. That's a bold move. Well done.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. And I hope you catch up soon. Opening question this week comes from myself. I've got a bit of a curiosity. So have you heard of this word, the ick?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I know, the word the ick gives me the ick. I don't like it. But, you know, we're on trend. We're following the TikTok trends. So my question to you is,
yeah,
have you got any parenting icks? Is there anything that your wife does or you see other parents do that you just think, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
This is probably probably the other direction for most people's icks. I don't know if it's an ick or I just get really annoyed.
Yeah.
I get really annoyed when I see parents that just aren't trying.
Oh, okay.
They're just too cool to entertain their kids.
How so? Like,
just they're not interested. Won't make any effort to make, like, the shop fun. Like going down Audi, it's not a fun trip for a 3-year-old strapped into a trolley.
Yeah,
give them something to do.
Well, you don't know what kind of day they've had, though.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Sometimes you just got to strap them in the trolley.
Absolutely, still annoys me.
It's more of a parenting irk,
yeah,
than an ick.
Yeah, no, I try not to be too
judgmental.
Ick mental. Mainly because, like, some of the things that used to really, like, freak me out before having kids, like, that's not necessary. Stop speaking like that. Now I've got a 3-year-old. She loves it.
Mm.
So now I don't really care as much.
So speaking is one of mine.
Is it? Just speaking in general?
Yeah, just speaking. Just stop talking. When when people use childish words that they don't need to use. Yeah. Example. Shoesies.
Shoesies.
Put your shoesies on.
Is that childish words or is that pet-centric words?
I don't know, but you've made the word longer. You've made it longer. You've put more effort.
So what you're saying is that gives you the ick when someone attempts to make a mundane task seem fun to their child?
Or like toesies. Oh, your toesies. Just say toes. You've made it longer.
See, I don't mind any of that stuff.
Yeah, I remember a woman at work once saying, oh, they're WFH. That's more syllables than working from home.
It took me a while to figure that out.
Just say working from home. Type it, yeah. But then if you're typing sockies, it's longer than socks.
I know, but the goal of everything isn't always efficiency.
Mm.
Especially when you've, like, got some time to kill with a child.
I don't know. I just feel like you've made the word longer and you're teaching them incorrect words. It just annoys me a little bit.
It depends. So, like, My daughter's pretty good with words.
Now I've said that, I'll catch myself doing it, though.
Yeah.
All the time.
So my daughter's pretty good with words. And it's like she knows most of the words for most things. So if I make it sound really silly, she's not going to then think that's the word for it.
Yeah.
But I don't often find myself saying shoesies.
It's just like booties. Well, I was just putting E's on the end of words. Just seems to wind me up.
It's probably coming from that place of, like, seeing parents that aren't trying. Like, if they've had a rough day, that's fine. But if it's just like it looks like their child's inconveniencing them. I think that's where I'm coming from. I actually don't care if people are going really over the top. It might annoy me a little bit, but it's more from the perspective of, at least they're trying. Like,
well, I apologise. I take it back.
In my wisdom and age.
No, that just winds me a little bit.
There are things that people do that annoy me, but I just can't remember them.
So many.
But I lost track.
Here is one that I have done. This is a parenting ick that you see someone doing, you just think... When their kid drops the dummy on the floor and they quickly pop it in their mouth to clean it and then give the baby the dummy back. I see that and I'm like, bleh. But hundreds of times maybe I've done that myself. And then, like, if there is anything on it, you kind of have to fish it out. Like a little hair. But no, when I see parents do that, I'm like, bleh.
I think I will come across a lot more of these as my daughter gets older. Mm. Like, as she goes to school, as you're around more parents, At the moment, a lot of my interactions with parents are like at a soft play or like if we're out, not regularly.
Yeah.
I think that's when things will start getting annoying. When you see how certain parents are a bit too.
I've just thought of one that I do say.
Oh, go on.
Poopy.
Poopy.
Have you done a poopy instead of a poo? It's longer. Just say poo.
But it's like subconscious, like we're trying to dumb it down, isn't it? Of trying to meet them on their level.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And I remember watching something or reading something, I think from a speech therapist, that was saying like to avoid a lot of those words because you try to teach them like correct language and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like once they've got language though, feel free, make it up.
Yeah. And take it from me, once they go to school.
Bruv.
Bruh. Bruh. The other one this week was broski.
Broski.
He came in, he said, all right, broski.
That's still knocking around.
So yeah, that was but then I went took the kids to the park after the whole bruh thing. I was like, where's he got bruh from? Took the kids to the park and there were these year sixes from Luca's school. He said, oh daddy, they go to my school. And he walked up to me, he said, oh, like he just said hello to these kids. He went, I'm here with my sister Myla, she's littler than me. And this one year six, bless him, just went, oh yeah, you're a big lad, aren't you, bruh? I thought, there we go, there it is,
that's where he's got it from.
You're the source.
Oh, that's a wholesome interaction.
It was lovely. Yeah, they were really good with both kids.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, I just got to sit well there. Then, yeah,
come on, they're not here to receive that.
I just sat there on my phone, not paying attention. That's not true at all.
I do that far too often.
No, I don't. I don't do it too often. I'm very conscious of it. But no, every now and again, I will give them the phone.
Yeah.
Did it yesterday. I say every now and again, we don't do it often, give them the phone. It was Liverpool Man United.
There's a theme coming on.
Went to extra time and the kids were getting a bit restless. So I said, oh, you can have my phone. Go sit over on that sofa. Well, they've got a little teepee. Go sit in your tent.
Hmm.
And yeah, just use the phone to my advantage for a little bit.
I got the comment the other day and this was a note from my daughter that I'm on my phone too much. She's like, Daddy, stop working on your phone.
Hmm.
I was like, ah, oh, yeah, you're right. I wasn't working. I was like, I was just reading a random story on Reddit. But it's one of those things, isn't it? Like when you're tired and stuff, sometimes it's like, just give yourself a bit of leeway.
Yeah.
But also like the reminder, oh, okay, I can put a little bit of extra effort here.
Yeah. Or just put your phone inside of a book. Because
why is that more socially acceptable to read a book than it is just to sit on my phone?
If
same, both just like in my own world.
We went to Softplay recently, and there was a guy sat there on his laptop, and he'd obviously just brought his kids to Softplay to give himself like a little bit of time to get some work done. And I thought, fair play. At first, I was like, "Gosh, guy's just sat on his laptop," and then you realise what he's doing. You think, "Do you know what? Fair play. You're just doing what you need to do."
Yeah.
But if I was sat there on my phone, didn't look up once. People would be like, oh gosh. If I was sat there reading a book and didn't look up once, everyone would be like, how studious. Look at that. Look at that chap bettering himself. You don't see enough people reading at soft plays anymore. That's what they'd say.
But it's that thing though, isn't it? Like sometimes you've got to just do what you've got to do. Like when work gets really busy, sometimes like I forget that actually I have a lot of time with my daughter that not a lot of other dads get to spend with their kids. Mm. And so like when instead of getting so guilty all the time, I was like, actually, no, do you know what? I actually have more time than most. So when I do have to do work in those times, it's just what it is. Like the other day, it was like, hey, no, you've got to just play here. I've got to do some work.
Yeah.
And it is. And like we were talking to Tom and Ellie about it. Like there is a healthy balance of them seeing you in work mode.
Yeah.
And that's actually, I've been thinking about that quite a lot. I've gone, actually, there is a good side to this. Life isn't all just play. Like, you're not going to grow up and just be disappointed because you're a myth sold. I feel like a little bit like that. Life is not just monkey bars. What? And skateboarding.
Lucas said recently, he was like, I can't wait to be a grown-up. I was like, hold your horses.
My one thing when I was a kid, I wanted to be a grown-up so I could skateboard. Just whenever I want, wherever I want. I didn't skateboard then.
No.
Didn't really like it. But for some reason, I thought if I'm an adult, I could be like Tony Hawk.
My recycling bin didn't get taken today.
Oh, that's the worst.
I'm a grown up. I've got to deal with that.
What do you? What is your plan of action? Do you?
He's gonna have to go to the tip.
Really?
Or burn it. And do you know why it didn't get taken?
What?
There was cardboard in it.
Is it not a cardboard pickup?
Apparently not. I'm really annoyed about it.
Do you know when the bins are going out? Like, do you know the pattern, or are you relying on other people?
Oh, relying on other people. Yeah.
My neighbours are really good.
Yeah.
So our bin gets collected on a Monday. Sunday morning, at least someone's got their bin out.
Yep.
And I've thought about trolling everyone. I put the wrong bin out on purpose.
No, that would be on our neighbourhood WhatsApp. You've got the wrong bin. No, we've got a kind of more elderly demographic, I would say, around here. Not elderly, but a bit of context. Our neighbour next door, I believe she's 40. Before we moved in, they said she was the baby of the street.
Oh, okay.
So kind of, you know, our bin's Monday, Sunday afternoon, all the bins are out. So
yeah, it's good.
They set the tone.
Helpful.
Yeah. I don't know where we've gone. I don't know how we got here.
I put my bin out today at 7:30 in the morning.
Did you? Oh, risky business.
Well, I forgot.
Risky
and I was
business.
Overjoyed when I looked at the neighbour's bin and it hadn't been emptied.
We had one recently after Christmas as well. So it was a big one where I thought, oh, I'll do it in the morning. And then you hear the beep. You get woken up by the bin man.
Many times I've sprinted out outside.
Well, I didn't have any shoes on. Didn't bother with shoes. My feet were in bits.
Well, you have stretched out. I don't even know how we got here.
I do not know how we got here. The question was parenting icks.
I do have a bit of a problem. It's not an ick. It's a different topic. So my mother-in-law.
Oh, is
need to phrase this correctly.
Just stop it there.
My mother-in-law has been paying for my daughter to go dancing. Hold on. let me just rephrase that. That felt like when I said that. You know when you're in primary school and you got PE and you forget your PE kit and they make you do it in your pants?
No.
That's how I felt just then, in that phrase.
Caught trouserless.
Just awkward.
Just being watched.
A bit of ashamed. Let me rephrase it.
In nothing.
My mother-in-law is paying for my daughter's dance lessons.
Okay. She's paying for us to go dancing. You treat yourself.
It's amazing. Like, phenomenal.
That's lovely.
I reckon at some point I'm going to have to foot that bill.
What are we talking? Street and tap?
Everything. Honestly, everything. However.
Jive?
However. What I didn't realise that signing up to dance classes meant that every now and then, twice a year at least, they do a little show. I thought, brilliant. Didn't realise that was a monetary investment.
Oh, hello.
You got to buy costumes.
Shocking.
Mandatory makeup.
Makeup
for a three-year-old?
Three-year-old? Nah.
Exactly. When Em told me that, I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Oh, my dad. My
lipstick,
dad would revolt.
Makeup. The problem is that Noah loves makeup. Absolutely loves it. Like, Em's not a huge fan of makeup, but Noah absolutely, don't know where it's come from, she absolutely loves it. Also, they've got two performances in the same week past 7 p.m.
Ooh.
Her bedtime is like 6:45.
I don't know why I turned into a bear there. Yeah, that's late. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Nah.
I realise now why as a kid I didn't do a lot of extracurricular activities. So expensive.
The makeup.
So expensive. All the it's not just the classes you have to pay for.
Yeah.
All the extra bits.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And the problem is that Noah loves dancing.
Are the two performances different performances?
The same thing.
So it's not two different outfits?
No.
Well, there you go. Every cloud.
It gets worse.
Okay.
How much do you think the tickets are?
Oh, gosh. £5. No?
I wish.
No way.
Yeah.
Are they all 3 years old?
No, it goes up.
Okay.
But I can't imagine. This is not West End. You wouldn't know that by the pricing.
And so you need to, this is to go to see your
this
daughter's
is,
dance performance.
Just to go and see, besides all the stuff you have to buy for them to be in it, you then have to buy the tickets. for me and Emily, this is not including an admin fee. Why is there an admin fee?
The jolly admin fee. What is
£35.
For both of you?
Yeah, for one night.
I can't even do the maths. What's that? £17.50.
There we go. Quick maths.
Oh, Vorders. Last Vorders, please.
So I looked
Mate, that's mad.
So I looked up tickets to go see the women's Liverpool football team, because no one wants to go.
Yeah.
I think less than £6 per ticket for an adult.
Oh my goodness.
And yet to go and see. Now, I love my daughter. I'm not sure the quality is going to be of that particularly value. We're not meeting at the Royal Albert Hall.
£35.
35 quid.
And this is before outfit.
Yep.
Makeup.
And weekly sessions.
I tell you what. If my dad was told you're putting makeup on a 3-year-old, no chance. Would my sister growing up.
Yep.
She quite often, back upstairs, wash your face.
Yep.
Old school, 90s parenting.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's one of those ones.
Kind of cute. I don't know how I'd feel about that.
What's interesting is that, so Em grew up doing sort of these West End shows as a kid.
Oh.
And theatre performances.
What a voice.
So she was in that world of dance and tap as a child, really, really young. And so this is all very normal for her.
Yeah.
For me, I'm oh, it makes me feel a bit weird.
Yeah.
But also, I do see the value in it.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely loves it. It was one of the only things, one of the first things that she would go to without another adult, actually being with her in the room. And the stuff that she's learning from is amazing. It is really cool. And she loves it.
Yeah.
So absolutely, I'm not objecting to it. It's just the point of...
£35, though.
35 quid.
I am objecting to it.
I was to Em, that's coming out of your personal budget, not mine.
£35! You, I tell you, the listeners know that I am tight. Yeah. I tell you what, that would be a Christmas present.
I discovered the price today. Em had already booked it in. And she was like, I'll pay for this one.
Oh. £35?
Yep. I don't even know how much the dance sessions are. I will wait to find that out until I have to pay for them.
Wow. Well, shout out to your mother-in-law.
Honestly, incredible.
Yeah.
But also, could have put something cheaper.
You could have put her in the Liverpool squad.
Discounted tickets.
That'd have been loads cheaper. Oh, mate. No, feel you there.
Yep.
No, not for me. And if she's ill... Are you paid up front, or is it a
paid?
Weekly?
I'm sure there's a refund policy.
No, we had this pay for Lucas football termly.
Yeah.
So if he was ill, if you go see friends, that's it. You've got to just tax deductible. Write it off. I don't know what that means. I just like to use that joke every now and again. It makes me seem learned from all the books I read at Softplay. So we moving on to funny things your kids have said this week. And I've got a little one from my 2-year-old. And this has come from my wife. It's a secondhand story. But Milo was shouting, Buzzy Bee, Buzzy Bee, the other day. And now that it's springtime, or it's turning spring, I actually saw a bee the other day, a wasp. And I thought, here we go.
A bee or a wasp, two different things.
It was a big old wasp, flew into the window.
Ooh.
Do you know when you just hear them tap on the window and you see it
Can I come in?
Yeah. And I thought, oh, I'm glad the windows are closed. It's a big old wasp.
If a wasp had an accent, where would they be from? In my head, they're all Cockneys. What, mate? Let us in.
Let us in, geese.
Come on. Bit in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, like an aggressive southerner.
Yeah.
Not like a nice southerner.
No, not
someone,
polite.
Yeah, not someone from Kent.
No.
Shout out to the Kent listeners.
What's the Ken accent?
I'm just
gone off a tangent here.
It's just nice southern. Not aggressive southern. A bit more Hugh Grant. A bit more Jude Law in The Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're really lovely. Not like a get out of my face, mate.
Yeah.
You mug. Now that's sorted. So Milo was saying Buzzy Bee, Buzzy Bee.
Yeah.
It was 50p that you could see. And she was calling it Buzzy Bee.
Oh.
I know. Wrong. It's 50 pence, not a bee. But yeah, cute. Buzzy Bee.
Very cute.
Buzzy Bee. So we've had one sent in from Laura. And she said, there was a new boy in nursery today, Mummy. Oh, yeah? Yeah, he did a massive poo in his nappy. The first thing that someone tells you about the new boy. Not, was he nice? What's his name?
Yeah, kids are just honest, aren't they?
They just, yeah.
Matter of fact.
They just say it how it is. They just say it how it is. Luca told me the other day, speaking of saying it how it is, he told me that I needed to wash my body. because it stank.
Noah often tells me, oh, you're a bit stinky, daddy.
Yeah, I came and got into bed with us first thing in the morning, stuck his nose right into my armpit, and just went, oh, he's going to wash your body.
Wash your body, Mike, check one. That's what was getting in my head.
I was like, get out of my armpit. And judge my morning musk. I actually think I do all right for armpit smells, you know.
You were rating it.
As it goes, yeah. So yeah, thank you, Laura, for sending that in. If you do want to send us the funny things your kids have said this week, please do at Parenting Tools Pod.
Stuart, you put a question on social media the other day.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, this was a good one.
Yeah, you put, how did you feel about becoming a dad?
How did you feel about becoming a dad?
We've had several responses.
We have indeed. Do you want to crack on?
Yeah. We had one from Mark.
Shout out to Mark.
Anxious. What the hell do we do? Ha ha ha. Add an extra ha there for emphasis. Parental classes aren't really built for dads.
Discuss. Oh, you never went to any.
I've done zero parenting classes in my life. Don't know if that's a good thing to brag about or not.
Mm.
Not really bragging, just a statement.
Yeah.
I would have went had I had the opportunity.
Yeah.
What was your experience on? What happens?
Oh, I think we've talked about these before.
They're just like...
Very underwhelming.
Oh.
And the hand on heart, the most important, interesting and useful thing that I learned from the parental class was where to park. Because... Hospital parking is very expensive.
Yeah.
It's hard to come by sometimes. Mm. So what do you do when your wife's, you know, especially first time, you think she's giving birth.
Yeah.
I remember the first time Leanne had contractions, I was thinking, great, any minute now I'm going to be a dad. 2 days later, it's like in that moment, you're panicking and not panicking, but you know, the adrenaline's going and you're thinking, right, it's happening. Where do I park? And they said, oh, you can drop your car there, put a little note on. Just saying, you know, dropping off at labour ward, then you go move the car, and then when you're coming out, you can go, you know, picking up from labour. So that was really useful. The rest of the stuff, I can't remember too much. I think I remember saying that the chap next to me, who I thought was going to be like my best friend for life, just yeah. Didn't want to know. A couple had a domestic in front of us, and it was just all
awkward.
Yeah, a little bit. This is potentially... a bit of an unpopular opinion, or maybe could be.
Oh, go on.
Men, a lot of men, learn by doing.
Yeah.
And if they don't know what they're doing, they will ask someone, you know, how do you fix this? How do you do that? So that's why a lot of men, you know, get into fixing things. They take stuff apart, they see how it works, they put it back together. They learn by doing. So practically, a lot of men, and this is where maybe like it could come across that they're not engaged in the whole pregnancy process. But for them to research something in a book isn't natural to them.
Mm.
But when the baby comes, they will learn by, well, how do I change this? How do I do that? How do I, you know, look after this baby? And if they get stuck, they'll ask someone. They'll ask their dad. Mm. They'll ask a friend, someone that's done it before. Because that's how they learn.
Mm.
Very practical. And I know not every man's like that. And I know some women will be like that. But... the whole research piece beforehand, it just isn't natural for some people.
It's so difficult. I think, again, like I'm a fixer. I want to fix things. Like, you're right. When a problem comes, I want to fix it.
Mm.
I want to know what to do. And like, when Noah's born, there was so much stuff that I had to learn. Like, stuff that wouldn't have been covered in those courses anyway. Like, just had to learn a lot of stuff. And now, like, even now, like, a lot of the burden of research, Em does a lot of research just generally, like, about nose development, all that sort of stuff. And, like, there is a bit of tension there where it's like she gets frustrated at me for not reading about stuff. Part of that is some stuff I just have to, like, if it's a bit distant, I just need to read more. I need to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is I don't know whether it's just I'm so short-sighted. So I can't see the problem until it's here.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's deal with it. Let's figure out what to do. The parking thing, legitimately, would have been really helpful.
It was.
Yeah.
It was really helpful. Because it I know it could be, that could come across as a bit playful almost.
No, you
know,
no.
A bit juvenile, but it's one less stress. Because parking's stressful. No, legit. Anyway.
Like, you say that, you think they're coming. When I was in the NICU with Noah, there was a baby in there where the mother gave birth in the car park.
Mm.
And like, they had a really like complicated few weeks. And like, again, it was COVID, so you could only visit like one at a time. So sometimes I see the mum, sometimes I see the dad. And it's like, that was going through the head of...
Yeah.
And like, they were right. It was actually coming. Yeah. So it does happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, parental classes, I think we're getting better generally because a lot more men are speaking up about stuff. There's about a million podcasts on being parenting dads like ours.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually just generally just helpful because it opens up the conversation.
I think also there is an acceptance of, when it comes to childbirth, you know, even though more men are doing more equal parenting now,
they're not the ones pushing it out.
We're not the ones doing it.
That's the reality.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, a child class, maybe should there be men only parenting classes, or should there be sessions for just the men, like breakaway spaces?
Definitely there might be space for more, but maybe it's even just as, maybe actually just needs to be said for some men. Partly your role here is just to be here.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's what needs to be said, of actually your role is just to support.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's what could be missing from a lot of people's minds, of going, actually, I don't feel like I'm actually helping, when actually you're right, it's not about you. It's about just being there for the person who's actually got to go through all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And like, you get that, I presume.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I can't remember. But no, I remember just having this mindset of whatever your wife needs you to be right now, you be that.
Yeah.
In labour. I suppose that goes for life as well, but not to that extent. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just, my mindset was whatever she asks you to do, whatever she needs you to do, just do it. And a lot of that is being a hand to squeeze. Oh man, that grip.
You're right though. Like, it's that reaction of, I'll just call someone and ask them what they did. I think I called you, like, very practically, what do I need to buy?
Yeah, you had your spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
What do I need for the bath?
Yeah.
You showed me your wall thing, couldn't find one.
Yeah, one of my mates, he said to me, he was changing his little girl's nappy, and he said, like, when you change your son, like, do his hips click? And I said, every now and again, like, I have felt it, but not often. And he was like, oh, okay, I felt it a couple of times, and I'll keep an eye on it. Like, he didn't go and read a book ahead of time.
Yeah.
He encountered that, and then he asked someone that had kind of, I was a few weeks ahead of the process of him.
Hmm.
Is that being less engaged than someone that does do the research ahead of time? I don't think so. Hmm. But it can be perceived that way.
Yeah.
But for a lot of men, that's just how we're wired.
There was a really helpful book, and I can't remember the author, where it's literally like one or two pages of development of each week in the early stages. It's literally called Your Baby Week by Week. Hmm. Just Google it. I'm sure you'll find it. But it's not a lot of reading. But you know, in the beginning when they change so quickly, and it's things like we didn't have like a health visitor come around because it was COVID.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that stuff we had to do by ourselves. And that would have been really unfair if I left that all to Em. And so like, it was really simple things like you have to do like tummy time.
Yeah.
And it's just literally one page on this week's development and stuff that you need to do, stuff that they'll be doing. And it's like just generalized for most babies. And it was just that I remember being like, that I actually read and it actually was really helpful.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, it was like I could prepare on the day of the test.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's doing something new. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, that's where I found podcasts quite helpful, like my first 5 years.
Mm.
You know, really practical, this is why this is happening sort of things. So, yeah, thanks, Mark, for that question. We'll answer. This one's come from Tinkertronic. Don't know if that's a real name. We had a miscarriage 2 years before our first pregnancy, and so I was constantly on edge.
Oh, yeah, that's common.
Yeah, to be nervous throughout the pregnancy.
Yeah, it's so tough. It's really difficult, isn't it? Because for the first like period, you don't want to tell too many people because the chances of it failing are quite high.
Yeah.
And then every twitch, every different change, like so much is going on that you just be really nervous.
Mm.
And it's like you find yourself like not trying to get your hopes up too high. Yeah. But also being appropriately high.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to worry too much. Oh, man.
Yeah. I feel, I've said this before, you know, becoming a dad, I wasn't nervous about being a dad, but I was nervous about all the stuff medically. Because it's just new ground, isn't it? It's new territory. Even though I've not been a dad before at the time, I've been a son.
Hmm.
I've been a part of the father-son relationship. So having a son, kind of know, because I had really positive experience, like what I want to create,
that, doesn't it? Yeah.
But medically, it was all so unknown. I was nervous about that side of things.
Hmm.
Yeah, a lot of nerves for some people.
We've had a
ready to pop the question. The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One from Tom. It's how you dealt with the change in relationship going from partners to parents. That's huge.
Big old...
That's one that we're still like, we're still trying to figure out the proper balance of all that still.
Mm.
We're 3 years in. And like, in the beginning, you're like, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
If we can get through this, amazing.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, okay, now we need to adjust some things to like the children are important, but also our relationship's so important. Like, how do you navigate those things?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Constant.
We're still partners.
Yeah.
But we're now partners in parenting. So it's, you know, we're still a team. We're still a team. More so now, but I completely understand that your life can very quickly become just about the kids.
Yeah, and like there are times when that's necessary as well.
Yeah.
It's like you just get through. Like you just got a parent and like, you're adults.
Yeah.
Like, you know that at the end of this you'll be there for each other.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've just got to power through.
Yeah.
Like many times when Noah's been in hospital for like longer stretches, it's like me and Em both recognize at the moment our energies are making sure that I'm okay and then that Noah's okay. Like that. And then the same for Em. It's like, hey, I just need to make sure that I'm all right and then I can look after Noah.
Yeah.
At the end of it, it's like, okay, now what do we need to do like to recoup? But sometimes you've just got to get through. On the other side of it, it's always that thing, isn't it, that like one day your kid's going to leave home. And it's like, what sort of relationship are you left with?
Yeah.
And that's like, not that that's on my mind constantly. Like, I'm quite, what's the word? Blessed with the relationship I have with my wife. But it's that we're very, what's the word? Conscious or in...
Yeah, you're aware.
Yeah, very conscious that I actually don't want to just, like, coexist being a parent. So
yeah, yeah. And also, I want to model to my kids.
Yeah,
you know, marriage.
Yeah.
So they kind of know, like, mum and dad love each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're in this together. So it's little things of the classic thing of, you know, one of our kids asks us for a chocolate. One of us says no, so they go to the other one.
Yeah.
And it's that lesson of, like, we are of the same mind.
Yeah.
It's not the language I would use with my kids, but, you know, whatever one of us says, that the other one's going to say the same.
Yeah.
Even if I'm thinking, well, why can't I have a chocolate? Yeah. Like, if she said no, I'm going to say no.
Hmm.
We're on the same page.
Yeah.
So it's that thing, I want to model that to my kids.
It's even things for me, like, even like affection, like, because you're modeling, like, married life, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it's like there's a line where I had to tell Noah that the term that he uses is so cringy. Like, smoochy kisses are only for mummies and daddies.
Did you say smooch?
Smoochy.
It's quicker.
Because she kissed them once and then was trying to copy that. She's a bit too long. Like, hold on. That's a bit weird.
Smoochy kisses.
Smoochy kisses.
Oh, that's nice. this one has come from Cold Pep. Becoming a girl dad, however, I love it and tell my mates that girls are the best. There you go.
So, yeah. Yeah. Don't disagree.
I mean, I've got one of each.
That's it. Best of both worlds.
There is something wonderful about having a daughter.
Yeah.
As a bloke.
I imagine there's the unique relationship between both.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing of, as a guy, I've not experienced that type of relationship ever. And, like, I know being a dad is different anyway, but that type of, like, protectiveness and, like, love towards, it's a different kind of love that you've ever experienced, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, you can't, I love it. I love being a dad to a girl.
Yeah. There's something wonderful about your daughter wearing a princess dress with wellies. I don't know what it is. It's like seeing a wheelie bin that's been blown over. I just enjoy it. It makes no sense.
It's, and, like, we were talking about, like, the makeup thing earlier, like, she's not seen that modeled in our house, like, very rarely. For some reason, like, her pretending to do her hair, just really cute. And I don't know where her love of dresses and all that have come from.
Yeah,
it's just really cute.
My little girl loves necklaces.
Yes,
beads,
all the jewelry.
Yep, just
everything.
She looks like Mr. T sometimes. But now I remember saying once, you know, I love my kids the same, but I love them differently.
Yeah.
And people on TikTok were like, well, how can you do that? But I love them the same amount, but they're individuals.
Yeah.
I have a different relationship with them both. So it's like I love my parents the same, but not in the same way. Like, it's different.
I think that was the moment we learned that TikTok has no nuance.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's still in uploads.
What did you just say? You sound like Pingu. Not.
Part of it's because I can't enunciate. I feel like I've got such a cold. When to say only Sith stealing absolutes.
I heard Pingu's mum go mental. Pingu's mum's freaking out.
They must have had so much fun making that show.
Yeah, speaking Pinguinese. That's the language. We digress. This one's come from Farmer J-Dog. Reading up on so many baby books to cram as many information as possible. There you go, he's cramming, he's revising. He's getting it in, doing the work.
I'm in the final one.
I can't see that.
What? It's not visible.
It's too small for me.
The real Jareen.
Not the fake one.
Not the fake one. Excited but initially unclear as to my role in the delivery room. Thankfully, hypnobirthing gave me a clear role.
Do you know what hypnobirthing is?
I can take a guess.
Go on.
Birthing by the aid of hypnotherapy.
Oh, What's
hypnotherapy? I don't know.
I thought you were going to go for hypnosis.
I was going that way, but a lot of people don't like the word hypnosis, so hypnotherapy sounded better.
Yeah, so hypnobirthing was one of those things where I thought, no, my wife's not doing that. I'm, oh no, I'm having, like, there's some look around the eyes, you're under, yeah. So now you've got a baby. Like, I always thought, that's what I thought it was.
You are the baby.
Be the womb.
You're under.
You're under.
Yeah, so what is it?
So it's just breathing techniques from what we discovered. It's like positive affirmations. It's breathing control, which Leanne found really helpful when giving birth.
For the people that I've talked about, they've spoke very highly of it.
Yeah. So that became one of the things that
I remember
I did.
Looked into it. I remember I think we'd planned to go down that route. Didn't make it, but...
Maybe next time. but yeah, in the delivery room, I said before, you know, you need to be whatever your wife needs to be. It was my attitude. But like counting the seconds for her breath in 2, 3, 4.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like that's what I was doing with her. And one of, you know, my ways of trying to keep her calm and was just to count her through it. Because I don't think in that moment she's counting to 8 as she's like pushing a baby out. Yeah. So yeah, that was something that helped. But yeah, if you want to expand on that, Jereen, please do.
How did you feel about becoming a dad? So many emotions still, like continually so many different emotions.
Yeah. And it changes. Like
it changes
as you've, you know, got a kid that can walk, as you've got a kid that goes to school, as you've got a kid that goes to secondary school, it's going to change, isn't it?
Yeah.
As you've got a kid that walks to school by themselves, like, oof, not looking forward to that day. Be a nervous wreck.
But yeah, on the whole, love it.
On the whole? Nah, I do love it. There's nothing, we say it all the time, don't we? There is nothing like it.
Yeah.
Nothing quite like it. Last thing I want to mention before we sign off for this week, had to have the Stranger Danger talk. With my boy. So we were in Aldi and we got there for opening time, so it was pretty empty. And he said, Daddy, can I just stand here? And I was going about a quarter of the way up. Past the breads to the croissants.
Yeah.
If you know where I am. So I'm not middle. About quarter. And he said, can I stand here? I said, yeah, you can stand there. Because we were near the tills. I thought I'm going back next anyway, you'll be fine. Turned around, he'd gone. And I thought, I have looked away for a second just to see what I'm picking up. So I walked down the aisle and he'd gone to look at some toys that were on the end of the till bit. So he hadn't gone far.
Yeah.
So I called him over and I thought, you know what, let's, you know, keep really calm, learning moment, teaching moment. So I got down to his level and said, do you know why I asked you to, you know, stay here? Well, he asked me. I said, I thought you were going to stay here. He said, I wanted a car. I said, but I didn't know where you'd gone. I said, what if, you know, I'd lost you? He went, oh, sorry, Daddy.
Aww.
I says, okay, and I come with me and got the pan of chocolates that I think we were picking up. And he likes to help me scan things through. So scan things through, put something in the bagging area. So do you want us to do this one? Look, he'd gone again. Now I look like a terrible dad. And so I look and I see his head and he's back at the toys. So he comes back across and I took him to one side after I'd paid because I didn't want to hold people up. I just said, what if someone had said to you, come with me, what would you say? I said, he went, well, no. Or something. I can't remember how it went, but basically I said to him, if I don't know where you are, I don't know if somebody's taken you.
Hmm.
And then that was it. So I said, if somebody says to you, like, come with me, you always say no. I said, unless it's, you know, a teacher or somebody looking after you, like nanny or granddad.
Yeah.
I said, you always say no. I said, that's if you don't know someone, that's called a stranger. He went, but what if I ask them their name?
Yeah.
I says, okay, if you ask someone their name and they tell you, it doesn't mean you know them. I says, what if they took you and you never saw mummy and daddy again? And you could see the cogs turning in his head, sort of thing. And he said, oh, okay. I said, so if someone said to you, because he went to look at Hot Wheels, oh, little boy, come and look at all these Hot Wheels I've got. What would you say? He went, yeah. straight, like no doubting everything that I've just told him for the Hot Wheels. Oh, I'm gone.
Yeah.
So it was a proper, like, stranger danger,
honestly,
talk that we had to have.
Honestly, I get so petrified. Like, just, it's absolute, wouldn't wish on anyone. Like,
yeah.
We were in Nando's the other day, and Noah's playing at the table, like, we were with some other people, and then, like, we could see her playing around. And then went silent for a minute. I looked under the table, she was gone.
Oh, man.
And, like, me and Em were both, like, monitoring her, so, like, we knew she was there literally, like, a second ago. And, like, I looked, just a quick look around, I couldn't see her, and, like, my heart dropped. She was just under the chair, like, on a bench. Oh, my word. It's that thing of, like, because they're kids, they don't understand.
Yeah.
And, like, they understand, like, to a certain degree, but it's like, ah.
Yeah.
I wanted to just tie string through all of her clothes and just wrap it around.
The first time, more for me, for trusting a four-year-old to stand where he said he was going to stand. The second time, he went from passing me something.
Yeah.
To me putting it in the bag to gone. And it was that quick. And it can be that quick. I remember my mum and dad telling me that they lost me on a beach once. And I'd gone with my bucket and spade. I was going back and forth to the sea to build sandcastles. And I was gone. I don't know where. I just went for a little gander. But yeah, it's very easily done. But in that moment, you're like... The thing is, I knew where he was the whole time. So I didn't have that heart sinking moment. But obviously, you have had that. I had it here. I lost him in the house. I was like, oh, no. But yeah, it's like, yeah, stranger danger talk didn't go as planned.
Hot Wheels.
I really thought I'd hit the nail on the head. Kind of didn't use scary language, but very truthful, you know. Yeah. Someone might take you. And then it was, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. For the Hot Wheels, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, we've had some of those talks. And like it's difficult to articulate it, but you just got to keep going, haven't you?
Mm. Yeah, and just hope that they... The thing is with kids, everyone's their friend.
Yeah.
Like you see them just bump into another child at soft play and they're best friends.
Yeah.
And to them, and even like I teach them to be personable and to teach, you know, to talk to people you don't know. Like, you know, say hello to that person on the checkout or say thank you, say please. And, you know, I will engage with those people, like, how's your day been? So they see me talking to strangers.
Yeah.
But it's how do you...
It's funny because, like, we, and this is not controversial, well, it shouldn't be, but I can see why it might be perceived. We always try to teach Noah, like, you never have to do something that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter who asks you, like, if it's a teacher, anything like that. You do not have to do it. In fact, like there's even to as like really ridiculous as like she got really upset because preschool was like she felt like they were making her eat her food even though she was full. It's like really insignificant thing, but it was a big impact to her. And we were like, it doesn't matter who they are, if they say that you have to do this, you always have the permission to say no. And it's that thing of trying to instill it in every situation. It doesn't matter if it's a teacher, if it's anyone in authority, like just you have the power just to go, I'll wait until just tell my mum and dad. Like that's always the option. And it's like you look back on like school and all that sort of stuff that our experiences where like teachers are there to like be in charge, like teach you. But I would much rather have a phone call from the school going, we feel like she's been rude or something because we asked to do something that made her feel uncomfortable rather than her coming home going, I don't feel good about what just happened.
Mm.
And because it's a very slippy slope of people in authority, whatever it is, they ask it, I didn't know what to do, so I just did it. I'd rather have that healthy view of how if I don't feel comfortable, I'm empowered to do what I need to do. And it's like, I've joked with them, but on a serious level of like, when it's age appropriate, I'm going to teach her how to like headbutt someone straight in the nose.
Wow.
And from that thing of like, if she gets into a situation where she needed to do that and she didn't know how to do that, that was my job to teach her that.
She's quite short though.
Somewhere. Throat punch, whatever's necessary.
There's Zidane. Bang.
Yeah, right in the chest.
Right in the chest.
But do you know what I mean?
So where do you draw the line then between, you know, the teachers are there, they are in charge,
yeah,
and they do have authority to tell you what to do.
So it's not talking about stuff that you don't want to do, like tidying up. It's very clear about the, like, for Noah, when we talk about make you feel uncomfortable, that's very clear to her what that means. So being uncomfortable isn't, I don't want to tidy up because I want to play. That's, she doesn't want to do it. She understands, when she feels uncomfortable, it's that anxiousness, it's that, I don't want to do it. And I'd much rather just have that conversation. And I think maybe because, like, Noah's quite good at articulating, like, her thoughts. Like, when you talk to her, quite, even if it's after the event, she's quite thoughtful. And so I trust her not to be just a difficult kid. Like, I'm sure she'll be, like, she'll chat back and be any other child. But I would much rather it be that way around.
Yeah.
I think it's just more of the world that they're growing up in isn't the world that we were in.
No. No, you're right.
And it's having that thing of, whilst it's okay to respect everyone, you don't have to trust everyone.
Yeah.
Which is not great, but...
But it's better to be safe than sorry, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think my worry there would be, you know, I get a call saying, you know, we told him to go outside because it was lunchtime and he was like, nah, I don't want to go outside.
I'd be more than happy to have that conversation though. And because... I'd always push of going, well, why, what reason? Like, what was the reason for them to have said that? Like, are they uncomfortable? Like, or are they just being naughty? If they're just being naughty, that's fine. We can deal with it. But if there's a reason that you're overlooking, I want to explore that as well.
Yeah. Like, is she getting picked on when they go outside?
Yeah. And I think I look back at how, like, my mum was. Like, I was in trouble a lot as a kid. But whenever I said something like that made me feel uncomfortable or the teacher did this and I didn't like it, she'd be straight to the school and it would never be like, my son's an angel. It would always be like, this is clearly upset him and he's not just being naughty, what's going on? And it's that role of going, like, okay.
Let's get to the bottom of the reason.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of the times, like teachers and all those people, they're just human. Like they can make mistakes as well. So it's just that thing of, I'd much... rather have a healthy view of that. Yeah
it's a tricky whole topic.
Tricky, but like I think we had that someone who got a phone call from the school of how something really ridiculous.
I can't remember
what it was, but I would rather have that be the case.
It was the Santa. He told people that Santa wasn't a real person.
But yeah, it's tough, but
yeah, it's gonna come.
Don't know. Hopefully, she doesn't have to headbutt anyone.
Well, hopefully, it's not me.
Why did you headbutt John? Told me to tidy up.
I heard him call me short on the podcast, so I thought I'll show you short. Douche. Oh, there we go. Thank you so much for sending those in. Big shout out to the fellas for your answers. And thank you to everyone that writes in every week. Please continue to do so at Parenting Tools Pod.
And we will see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.